went to the.
How do we?
That one?
Oh, well,
So,
good. All right.
inspired
So.
by Psalm 19, then say, just say this with me. If you, okay.
And I'll just pray for them. They just want to speak. The church pastor is needed. Help them. Yeah, but
actually, it's so.
Now, Dan, if you want to say something during connection time, can you chat with him? Just say we don't have that capability yet. You know, we're not quite set up for that yet.
No, they do that thing sometimes.
That's probably, yeah, we'd be able to do that. I haven't set that up yet, but yeah. That's something that would just like crawl across the planet.
Yeah, yeah. It's like come pick up kid. If you want, you can respond to people.
Okay.
Act like you're me. I can either burn some bridges for you and make you some friends. You're like, hey.
Still talking, I'm in the middle of this
right now.
Good morning, everyone. Let's stand as you are able and let's worship today. This is inspired by Psalm 19. If it's on the screen, I'll ask you to say it with me. If you ask the sky who God is, the sky will tell you of God's reach. If you ask the day who God is, the sun will tell you of God's warmth. If you ask the night who God is, the moon will tell you of God's comfort. The heavens are telling you the glory of God. Are you listening? We are listening. We will sing of God's glory. Let us worship Holy God. And we're going to do so by one of the oldest hymns in hymndom, and I'm sure you know it. Sing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Dear Lord, we come into your presence, Father, this morning to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together as a church family, Father, for one purpose, to glorify your name this morning. And Father, I pray that you would help us to leave all of our worries and all of our cares, just set them aside for about an hour while we focus on you today. Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we're thankful that you know our names.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Now that you've all got the hang of this, it's such a good song. Let's start from the beginning.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And He hears me when I call.
Okay, this next song requires a bit of participation from you. When I ask a question in the song, you simply respond to what's next to it.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priests to God who reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. It is time for testimony time here at Genesis. Every week, I love this time. It is when we as a community get to participate in sharing how you've seen God move this week. So be thinking about that. Or any ways that maybe you're not sure if you've seen God move, but you're looking for him. While you're thinking, I had one pop into my head as I was sitting here, and I don't know how many of you have high school and middle school students here, but they had a youth blast yesterday that was 8 hours in this building with 20-some middle school and high schoolers, and my son was part of it. And I was struck this morning on how excited he came home from it. And just kind of blown away about how I was reminded that God is pursuing my kids and he is using safe adults here to make them feel welcome and safe and excited about who God is. Because by middle school, they don't really want to listen to their mom anymore. Does anybody else have a testimony that they would like to share?
I haven't been here in a few weeks. 1 week I was sick and last week I was gone. And a lot has happened in those few weeks. First of all, my mentor and good friend, Lenny's mother, got a good report. She's had cancer and she had stage 4 uterus cancer. And she's been through chemo and radiation. And it came back, the doctors came back and said she is cured. She has no more cancer. So that's wonderful. And another thing I'm thankful for a lot, but I'd be here all day. But another thing I'm thankful for is last weekend, I went on a wellness retreat for new survivors of human trafficking, and I was a navigator. And what that they do is they help the girls find their classes, help them when they're nervous, and they help them along the whole weekend. And I had five ladies underneath me, much younger than me. And I got to know them. And honestly, I feel like they helped me more than I helped them. They are amazing. I'm still in touch with them. And one of the girls in my group just got a job with, she's from Ohio. They were from all over the U.S., but the one girl's from Ohio, and she just got a job with children and youth that have been trafficked through the state of Ohio. So she's going to be like the coordinator and help them and mentor them. So that's a, I'm thankful for that. Who else?
I have an 8-year-old son, Harvest, who loves to turn on the hose and begs to have the hose on. And, you know, it hits a certain time when you're no longer willing to turn on the hose because it's so cold. And, you know, and you're losing money because they're like spraying everything. And he begs. And so if it goes over the temperature of like 50 degrees, he's like, Dad, can you uncoil the hose? Can you hook up the hoses? Can you do this? And I'm like, it's still winter. I mean, supposedly. And he's begging. He's like, Dad, I want to swim. Can we, you know, build a pool in the backyard? And I'm like, no, we could just put a tarp. We can dig a hole and put a tarp in the ground. And I'm like, that doesn't work. But he's always got these ideas. And he's like, I want to do it this week. And I'm like, it's going to be too cold. Did you guys feel Tuesday? All right, so it's Tuesday. It's an election day, so he's totally out of school, which is like awesome and dangerous at the same time. And it's 70 degrees out. So he's like, and he's like barefooted in his swimsuit. He's like, I want to be outside. I'm like, no, it's too cold. And I step outside, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, okay. So I get out the hose in this long tarp, and he's like, can I make a slip and slide with Dawn soap detergent? So I give him like the 32-ounce bottle of it that he drains, him and his friends. And so I just got to witness it in that day. And you have those just moments, right, where you're just kind of like, man, everything can look like a little bit hard and difficult. But you get these little glimmers of just beautiful joy. And they drained that Dawn soap. And I tell you, there were suds all over them. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was mostly, you have to rinse off because you have so many suds on you, not because you're dirty, right? You know, so I just thought it was just God's joy. And so I was just, it was a gift, having 7-degree weather, having a tarp, having a hose, and having plenty of soap. So I was just thanking God for that. So there you go.
Who else? Oh, Jenny.
As Liz said, we had our youth blast yesterday, and I am just grateful for the volunteers that pulled it together, because when we dreamed it up, you always plan these things in advance, and then you're like, oh shoot, we actually have to do that thing that we put on the calendar. And it's like 8 hours of 6th through 9th graders for the most part. Whew. If you've ever worked with our kids upstairs, you know what kind of energy that was. And so I'm just grateful. Samantha Pop worked with the 6th or 7th grade girls. If you see her at any point, just give her a rub on the back, because that was a lot of energy. And Derek Crawford, who is armless right now, oh my goodness, he was with our 6th grade boys, and I can't, the things that he was doing, I'm like, Derek, you're gonna pay for that the whole rest of this week, buddy. But he was with them and engaging them, and Jerry was with our older girls and Isaac, Corianu, poor Isaac, and was just kind of getting them to, dragging them along, because our older kids just don't do as much as our younger kids. And Hannah was doing worship, and Manya was pulling off the camp style spirit up at the front. I mean, Ben Hoskins did our food. My husband came in and helped, which he doesn't love working with kids, so bless his heart. And I mean, I can't, there's just so many people. Jess Kennedy came at the end and was kicking the cleanup. And so we would never have pulled this off with all the helping hands. And Katie Jason did a great job speaking. I just blown away. And the kids that showed up, and the extra kids that don't normally come that showed up. And I'm just excited to see what happens next with our youth group. So
Anyone else? I love it. I love all the hands.
Good morning. My name's Deb. And my husband, Chris, had a shoulder replacement in January, which I'm grateful he could have it done. It's been amazing recovery. It's usually when there's some recovery, it's like two or three steps forward, maybe one or two back, but you're always going forward. There haven't been any back steps at all. It's all been wonderful recovery. And I just want to praise God for where we live and the time in which we live that this can be done. I just think of people that struggled with pain the rest of their lives and couldn't have it done, but I'm just praising God for that recovery and technology. Thank you, Lord.
Anyone else? All right. Jerry's going to come and do some announcements.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Genesis. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning. Again, my name's Jerry. if you are here with us this morning, please take a moment to fill out our connection card. You can do that digitally online on our website, or if you're here in person, you can fill out this green card that's in the pew in front of you, and then you can put prayer requests on there as well. If you do fill out a physical green card, you can put that in the box that's at the very back of the sanctuary. There's like a wooden box back there beyond the doors. And this is also where you can place any offerings that you've brought with you. Genesis is fully funded by your faithful and generous giving and cannot function without your financial support. When you give to Genesis, you're funding a multitude of causes. You're funding the warming center that keeps our friends experiencing homelessness safe. You're funding Community Cafe to provide food to those in need. You're giving, makes our staff get paid and make sure that the heating bills for this building get paid and events like Youth Blast to be able to happen. If you call Genesis your church home or even just a safe space to be on a Sunday morning, we ask you to consider giving toward our vision to creating spaces of belonging and help others identify and develop their calling and taking action for the good of others. One of the spaces that we're creating is coming up very soon, making spaces to listen. Hearing from God can be difficult in our highly distracting culture. So on March 16th, which is Saturday, from 9 to 10:30, we're going to be hosting this event in the Genesis Lobby. Join us for a morning to practice quieting the noise and ponder the things that might be nudges from God. Just a reminder, today after service, we will be eating together. So please join us in South Hall. Everyone is invited, whether you brought food or not. Just join us down there. And then just real quick, please, let's give the family ministry team a round of applause for putting on Youth Blast. Manya and Hannah and Jenny. It was great. It was amazing. Chaos at times. Extremely loud, but it was so much fun. I think the kids had a great time. So I'm going to release you for connection, but while you're connecting with others, please take a look. There's a slideshow of the fun that we had last night, so enjoy.
Okay. Hi, how are you? Well, that was a little, I thought that was coming during connection time. Oh, but can they see it? That's what I wanted to zoom in on that. So what I want to create now is a slide that will capture what's coming through the projector to the live stream. I would be chattier and say hi, more if you're trying to figure out some stuff on the computer. Good. All right. Okay. Fair enough. I was like, normally I would just have said a whole lot more there, but in this one, okay.
So I think Dan said he could hear our conversations around here. So I think we have to mute this one. The speaker may be on here.
I've muted that one. Try coming through this one.
You can plug your thing back in.
Okay.
I think if I turn off the sound here, though, because this is Zoom, they won't get any sound, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad it wasn't too chaotic.
No, that
hear me?
It taught us how to do something, right? Oh, and it came back. Good.
Might just be a buzz in the background. Hopefully they can hear
everyone
else. Yeah, I think that's what happened when we were doing the TikTok video, is that you could hear like I kept usually mute this computer, and I had to turn on the sound here, then there was a great thing.
And there's a goofy, so this is taking sound to the soundboard. I'm learning all these things. That's taking sound to the soundboard. But we had to mute this, but turn on audio there. For Zoom to pick up. So that is like when this crosses over, Nate figures it out.
I think that was what was tricky with TikTok, because I turned on the sound there so they could actually hear it. But then it became an echo. Then we did a
so
weird
it's feedback
or something, and then it worked.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't remember. I shouldn't have run it.
Well, you know what? We're just gonna keep documenting stuff. I figure everything that can possibly go wrong is gonna go wrong at least once while we're sitting here, right? So
Like
now, understanding that I need something that takes just the projector. And I'll show you how I'm going to set that up. I mean, that's, you've got 2 minutes after the service. I'll set up that theme and show it to you.
So, let's see if I have it at home, but I think I have like a rest end for the tripod that we can.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah, that would be some presets. So this prayer of confession. So see that macro.
Sorry to interrupt. Do you guys know who's doing the next thing?
Prayer of confession? I don't know. Oh, Mikey Dan. Ask Dan if he's doing that.
Yeah, I just need to say.
Yeah, I didn't think it's that.
See, they're doing this a little bit out of order because they were. So I'm going to do camera and slide side by side while that's going on. Just so they've got a sense of what's going on. So the announcements sets up with send the slide only to both. And then I take that same announcement presentation and dump it down lower. But the problem is that that macro is embedded in it.
Yeah.
And so it overwrites it and sends the slide to both. So what I need to do is the second time I embed it, I need to change the macro, but that changes it on the first one too. So I got to figure
one for every case almost.
Almost. That's what I'm just learning right now.
Which, it seems complicated, but as long as it's As long, presets, it seems like.
Yeah.
Dan, can you hear me? Or is it the background? Dan?
He was waiting for his cue.
So you can hear me on that. He said it wasn't during the service.
Switch back to that. Oh, now that screen. Oh, that needs to go to Dan.
All right, if you guys can come back together, please, we're going to do the call of confession. Again, good morning, everyone. I am Dan. I didn't know I was doing this until, about 20 minutes ago? Yes. Teacher voice. In our scripture for today, Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Messiah." Have you ever wondered if his voice faltered when he answered? Did you respond loudly and with confidence, or with a tentative whisper? We'll never know. The text doesn't provide those details. But when we can trust that, no matter how we speak to God, when we speak, God is listening. So friends, join me in the prayer of confession. Whether you whisper these words or speak them with conviction, may you trust that our gracious and merciful God is listening with love. So please stand and let us pray together. Holy God, some days we are quick to declare your goodness. Like Peter, we see you in our midst and we are confident in our faith. Other days we are distracted and uncertain, desperate for answers. Forgive us for losing sight of you. Some days we are quick to trust your blessings, trusting that we are called, that we can make a difference. Other days our praise falls silent and doubt creeps in. Forgive us for losing sight of ourselves. We know that fear and doubt are part of the journey of faith, but for those days, from you and far from ourselves, we ask for your tender grace. Pull us closer toward you. Remind us of the mountaintop moments of our faith. Amen. So our words of forgiveness. Friends, whether you speak to God in a whisper or with clear conviction, with questions or with answers, with hope in your heart or with doubt in your throat, God will always listen with love and mercy. So rest in this good news. Regardless of how loudly you live your faith, you belong to God. You are loved. You are claimed. You are forgiven. Speak that good news with confidence. Amen.
Let's remain standing for one more song, Caught Ya.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Seal it for thy courts above.
You may be seated.
Good morning. My name is Beau. So glad to be with you this morning. We're eating together, and again, we just want to invite you at the end of this, please stay and eat. We're going to be taking communion around those tables as well. It's just a great way to take communion around a meal. And also, if you're interested in baptism, we've had 8 people who have said they're interested in getting baptized on Easter. It's happening on March the 31st. I know. It is going to be so cool as we get to be reminded of the reality, to get to witness, to be reminded of our own reality, of our belovedness, that we are God's, and to see people step into that. But so if you're in that conversation, that's something you're interested in, I'll have a table down there that we're eating at, and for those who want to have a conversation around baptism, if you accidentally sit at that table, you're going to be talking about baptism. That does not mean that you have to get baptized, but find a table. I'll be sitting there. Come and eat with me. We can just talk with the people who are thinking about it. Not as a conversation having to get everything right, but really just to talk, to say, oh, what are you thinking? What's behind this? And to hear the other people who were thinking about it as well. So if you've got a minute, stick around. A number of you already mentioned it, and I'll be reaching out to you as well. If you can't stay but you want to get baptized, just grab me and let me know that's something you're thinking about. Parents, if you know your kids are interested in that, come and sit at the table as well. We would love that. So there's the piece of that today. I want to start with this prayer today, and it's a prayer that Paul gives in the book of Ephesians, and it goes this way, and it's Ephesians 3, and he kind of tells us, he kind of starts talking about his prayer, the posture of his prayer in his prayer, and he says this: for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Super inclusive language. Every family in heaven and earth derives its name from God. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, God's generosity is another way to say that, that God may strengthen you with power through your spirit and your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So Paul is using some pretty mystical language, but what grabs me, this reality that Paul is praying, is that we would know a kind of love that surpasses knowing, that the reality of what we know and understand would grow in its height, in its width, in its depth, but all of it is this reality of God's love. Something that's tangible, but yet it grows. Something that surpasses what you knew or what you thought you knew. The reality of God, God's fullness, and God being in us is also a marker of God's love. What a beautiful picture of knowing this love that's higher and wider and deeper. One of the themes for today and over the series that we're in, they use the song that Marty just sang, Come Thou Fount. And the little subtitle today is Praise the Mount. Praise the Mount, I'm fixed upon it. The Mount, this like mountain, this elevation, this height of God's unchanging love. That's the elevated mount that the song references. Praise the mount, this elevated spot, this mountain that I'm upon of God's unchanging love. Now that love doesn't change, but that doesn't mean that our knowledge and our experience and our reality of that love doesn't change, because it does. Because this whole thing is this prayer of saying, I pray that you would experience, and here's this language, when Paul uses the language of power, it's not coercion, it's not force, it's not flipping tables, it's not any of that, not that kind of power. It's this power to know, or to experience a knowing that's beyond knowledge, yeah, figure that out, to know love. That it's higher than your experience and than what you've known, that's wider than what you know, that's deeper than what you know, but it's unchanging, but it's still more than what you know, and what you'll ever know, and to know the fullness of God in you. So that's today where we're talking about this height. One of my weird friends, and I don't know what denomination he's a part of. I get them all confused. There's too many. Do you agree? Gosh, there's so much. And he comes from I just know he's got a really big beard, and they all have big beards in that one, and they wear different things. But he's also charismatic, and he holds a lot of really cool stuff. But I love being with him. And he was encouraging on one of these posts he put on Facebook, I follow him on Twitter, and he's like, I want to encourage everyone to do the sign of the cross. Anyone raised Catholic here or in a tradition that did the sign of a cross growing up? Yeah, me too. I was raised in that up until about third grade. And so I had an idea of how to do it, but it's been so long that I get my lefts and my rights mixed up a lot. Like, I don't know them, I gotta do this. I'm like, okay, L makes left, this is my left hand, I'm serious, it's like bad. I got something like a block in me. And so like when you're doing the Pledge of Allegiance, you're supposed to have your right hand over your heart. And I'm like, one, which is my right hand and where is my heart? All right, so there you have it. And you're like, you don't know anything, guy. All right, those things are, but also with the sign of the cross, it's like, oh, do we do our right hand, and which motion is first or last? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But the sign is the shape of the cross. That's what matters. The shape of the cross is a reminder of Jesus. That's what matters. And the cross is this revelation. This is what the scripture tells. It's the revelation. As tricky as it is, and as confusing as it is, as complex as it is, this idea of the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection, it is the revelation in its utmost clarity or perfection of what God's like, of love. Of love. And so the cross, the head, lower maybe your belly button, right? And then there, right? The sign. Sign of the cross. We mark ourselves. And when my friend did it, he said, it reminds us of Jesus. The shape of Jesus, self-giving love, generous, sacrificial. And so when I sign, I think, oh yeah, that's the shape of Jesus. Self-giving love, sacrificial, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, do the shape. And I think about, the cross up there, and it's the shape of it. But people who also did that, they thought it's also a sign of the height of God's love, the depth of God's love, the width of God's love. It's like, that's cool. That's good. That's something physical that my body can even feel, right? Like you can participate in. So would you join me? Let's do the sign of the cross. And the height of his love, the depth of his love, and the width of his love, and even wider of his love. This duped you. You're Catholic. There you go. I made you Catholic today. There you have it. It's like, no, it's beautiful. These beautiful traditions are so good. They're so good. And we enter them. There was a Russian proverb that talks about the depth of God's love. And they say, when you've hit rock bottom. Anybody there? When you hit rock bottom, there's a knock from below. And it's Jesus. That's the depth of below. Sometimes when we think about God, it's always the heights. It's always above, and we're knocking from below. But the beauty of this reality, of this mount, the mount of God's love that we are fixed on, this unchanging love, is a love that has a height and has a width that's wider. And so when we heard us talking about all-inclusive, and even though that felt perplexing to some, for many of us, we're like, it can be no other way than to expand all of creation, all of life, and all of God's goodness. It's more, it's wider than we think, and it's deeper than we think. And so when you've hit rock bottom, there's a knock from below, and it's Jesus. Boy, that's been my experience. I don't always like being there. But it definitely seems to be the experience. So that's what we're looking about, these heights and these depths of God's love, and this reality of this mount of God's love that we're fixed upon. And so there's a text today that we want to look at, but I want you to have in your head this reality of height of God's love, the depths of God's love at rock bottom, because there's a different knowing. There's a different experience of God's love when you're there than when you're here. There's a different kind of knowing. It's a different kind of experience, different kind of reality. It's not easier. I remember hearing, I don't know if it was Rohr or somebody else who talks about that in our life, we have two, majority of us have two knee-jerk reactions to deep love and deep suffering. We find both of them problematic. A reaction to them to be like, whoo, that's a little bit too much. Deep suffering, I definitely don't want to be there, but deep love is also kind of, it's scary because it demands some vulnerability to receive it, to be like, is this true? Can I receive this? And I felt both resistance to both of those things. So today we're talking about this mount of God's unchanging love that has a height, that has a depth, and has a width. And yet it's more than we know. So here's this text. That was the text for today that I want us just to step into for a few minutes. And for me, it just leads me to questions. And so I pray and hope too that the questions in this story would also lead you as well, but you would get a sense that would lead you to heights and depths and widths. That makes sense? So it's like, okay, if the questions lead you into a greater descent, that is okay. Because there's always a knock from below, and if it leads you to this greater width that expands what you thought you knew, that's great. If it leads you to a height on the mountaintop, beautiful. But may we be vulnerable enough to go where the questions lead us. So here's the text from Matthew. And it's in Matthew 16, and it's this conversation that Jesus is having with disciples. So it's Matthew 16, verse 13, and it says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? Or who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. This is very cryptic language. This is language that's pointing back to these prophecies and these things. This is, they're kind of saying, this is what the crowds are murmuring. And then Jesus asks them this question: who do you say I am? What do you think? Simon Peter, the whole series that we're in is focusing on these stories of Simon Peter. So here's another one. of him. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah," which when we translate that, the Greek version says Christ. It's a term for, it means the anointed. It was a prophetic idea, this individual was going to come. Lots of meaning, lots of history, little connections and tons of ideas of what people thought that Messiah would do. Super complex. But Peter responds and answers, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, or happy are you, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. "And upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Okay, so here we have this interesting text, this interesting story in the life of Peter, and Jesus is asking questions. Anytime Jesus asks a question, I believe in the way that I was taught even to read and look at them is that it's a question for us as well. Now, I was also taught at different times that when you get asked a question, you need to have the right answer. And then when you have the right answer, that unlocks good things for you, like success or right standing or approval or praise. I mean, that's what maybe this could even look like. Here is Jesus. "Hey, I know people are saying things about me. What do you say about me?" Peter, boom, stands up. "You're the Messiah, the Son of God." Attaboy, Peter. "Well done. Oh, yeah, I'm going to call you Rocky now," right? I turn into like the coach from Rocky, right? Where he's like, you know, it's like, "Oh, good job, you know. I'm going to give you the keys," right? "You get the keys to the car and of the kingdom. And you, God revealed this to you. You got it right." And then so in that, it can kind of, and he gets a nickname. You know, that's like really cool. The gym I go to, there was this guy there named Phil. Everyone loved Phil. Phil was like awesome, and Phil gave nicknames. He gave my good friend Scott a nickname. He got the nickname the Postman. If you know Scott Hallback, Scott Nicky, he gave him the Postman. Scott's a UPS driver. So it kind of fits, right? It's like not right on the nose, but it's really close. And he says, "Yeah, you're the Postman because you always deliver." You know? I'm like, awesome name. And that name has stuck today. So anyone who knows Scott at the gym, you're like, "Yeah, the Postman was here." Right? We know exactly what he's talking about. Phil gives nicknames. He gave a ton of other guys. I wanted a nickname. I think Karma, my wife, even got on like Facebook and said, "Could you give Bo a nickname?" Now that's pathetic, right? You got a gym friend and your wife is then asking on your behalf for him to give you a nickname. It doesn't work that way. It's like you're supposed to do something inspiring, right? You're supposed to do something right. You perform, and then you get the awesome nickname. I've never gotten the nickname from Phil. But, you know, I don't know. Do you know people who have awesome nicknames? And there's sort of that part where you're like, man, Peter gets the name. I see you. You're a rock. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Attaboy, you had the right answer. Okay. What if that's not the way to look at it? What if that way looking at it isn't helpful, right? Or doesn't, it kind of leads us into some weird spaces. It's like then, okay, then when I get asked a question, I just got to give the right answer. So what if it's something different? And I start asking, just like, all right, well, what if it's vulnerability and not the right answer that Jesus is looking for? Because it's beautiful. I mean, Jesus asked him the question, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter throws it out there. And he puts himself out there. And he does a lot, and he gets it wrong a lot. And even, just so you know, if you know the story, he says he's the Messiah. He has no clue what he's saying. Like, I mean, he has a clue, but he doesn't have it right, meaning that we're going to look at the way he responds and the kind of Messiah that he thinks Peter, Jesus is. And we know immediately from his life, he doesn't understand the type of Messiah, what that means. So this isn't about getting it right. But what if it's about vulnerability? What if it's about, like, it's about the conference, what is about engagement? And here's this question come from Jesus. Who do you say I am? What do you think? What have you been told? I mean, a number of us, if you've been in like church, you have a number of answers that you've been told. But also you have things that you've like come to experience or to glean or take hold of that you were like, I think I've experienced this in a certain way of knowing, and I could tell you a story, and I could give you where it came about, and it may not be like crystal clear, but it's something that I can acknowledge when you say, well, who's Jesus? Like for me, I can think of ones like, I would use language of, I know that it's a right answer because Jesus said it, but Jesus said, I'm a good shepherd. But I think I've experienced Jesus as this good shepherd who speaks good words, who's like calls, and I've heard things that are like, come, I've got you. You know, so I think I've experienced that. I have other ones in this season. And again, I was trying to think about, were there moments in my life that I would say I've experienced Jesus in this way, and then would I use different language, different stories? Would they get built upon and nuanced as the years go by? Absolutely. I guess, I mean, a lot of times the context of my life, the experiences of my life, the heights or the depths of life. And when you're in the depth of pain or suffering or confusion or whatever it might be, it can be very confusing. And then you can say, Jesus asked that question, well, who do you say I am? And sometimes the answer could be, oh, I don't know right now. I'm uncertain. If it's dark, I don't know. Or you can be like, well, I have known you. I thought I knew you as this, but right now I'm uncertain if that's the full picture. And is that like, does that kind of honesty bad? I think this is what Jesus is when he's inviting us into this question. I think it's what we're being invited into. I love the parable of the two brothers and the father. I mean, Jesus has given us family relationships, and both one brother is like wild, and another brother like stays home and works and does all the thing. But both of them have this kind of like jacked up idea of who their father is. Neither of them like really get the father's love. And the story is about a father and two kids, and none of them get it. The one who runs off is like, oh man, I've really jacked it up. And right, they take their inheritance and they run away and they like blow it, right? They like epic fail, right? Like, man, to the depths. Failure, of utter failure and ridicule, black sheep, all that. And then thinks, okay, I'll be a slave for my dad. I'll be a servant for my dad. I'll take on a different kind of relationship in this family. I'll no longer be family. I'll be like household worker. That's how I'll get my way back in when I go home. And that son doesn't understand the depth of the father's love, the width of the father's love. And then the other son, when the wild, rebellious son comes back, is mad because they're throwing a party and they're celebrating the return of the son who was considered dead. And he's mad. And he's like, you never threw a party for me. I've never gotten to have a party with my friends. And the father then says these words to him, everything I have is yours. It's yours. And he doesn't understand the height of that, like, I withhold nothing from you. It's yours. He's not like, neither of them get it. But I love what I love about that story is that we would never know the brokenness of the older brother if he didn't open his mouth and say, "You're withholding. You don't celebrate me." He would never know the father's response, because the father's response isn't, "You ungrateful son, how dare you? You understand what I've done for you?" The father's response is, "Well, we have to celebrate, but everything I have is yours." And so I love that story. It's a parable. I love the story because of the vulnerability that opens up a deeper kind of knowing of love. And so in that story, the father could even ask these sons, "Who do you say I am?" And both of them, the one father says, "Well, I mean, you know, you treat your servants pretty good, and so you'll probably treat me that way." And the other son's like, "Well, meaning you, who do you say?" And they get it wrong. But when they open their mouths and speak it out loud, it gives the father a chance to respond to them right where they are. That's pretty awesome. So I feel like this text is one of those ones where you get to ask that question. Right now, to the person of Jesus, the cosmic God, not just this reality of the historical figure, but to that question, if Jesus arose or if the whispered and said, "Who do you say I am now?" What would you say? And then my next question is, like, did you learn that from someone? Or why do you say that? How do you know that? Where did that come from? In this story, Jesus responds to Peter and he said, "You didn't learn this. This isn't something you learned in Hebrew school. Father revealed it." I don't know the answer to this next question. I don't think that Peter would have said, "I mean, God told me, I was hanging out on the sidelines. You asked a question and God said, hey, that's the Messiah." He had no clue. I think he was just responding in vulnerability. And Jesus is affirming him. "You may not know how you got to that answer. You didn't learn that from another human being. God told you this." I love the possibility of that kind of knowing. We kind of say in here is that that's the kind of knowing that we believe that everyone who breathes life can know. That you don't need a rabbi or an imam or a guru or mushrooms or whatever else that could help you to have some kind of incredible experience. Or you don't need that. That the God of the universe is pursuing, asking questions, inviting the mining of our lives and longing to speak. So I love about the story, it starts with Jesus asking a question, "Who do you say I am?" And in beautiful vulnerability, Peter answers. And so here's my encouragement. I hope that can inspire, I guess. The inspiration that I hope is that maybe you would ask that question and be willing to be vulnerable in your answers, to be like, you don't have to get it right. I mean, my word, there's so many responses in the human experience what that could be. The heights and the depths and the widths are immeasurable. But how would you respond with vulnerability? The next thing that is super cool, Jesus almost answers the question before Peter even says it. If Peter then, it's almost like there could be the question in the next part of Peter being able to say, "Well, Jesus, who do you say I am?" And boom, here's Jesus being like, "You're Peter. You're a rock." What a beautiful language. What do you say of me? Who do you say I am? So I mentioned Phil never gave me a nickname. I'm over it. I used to wear a headband when I worked out. Like every day I'd put on a headband. And I thought that like Rambo would be the name, you know? because I thought it was like, but it's a little bit too much on the nose, right? You just can't be Rambo. I'm over the nickname in the gym. But when I was 19, my first year in college, I was in Kansas. I was in a school called Mid-America Nazarene College. I went to the Nazarene school for a year. And I like enrolled like a week before school started. And I was like, okay, I need to go to college. Let's go here. You know? And they're like, hey, you're poor and you don't know where you're going to school. You can get student loans for the entire thing. I'm like, sounds great. Where do I sign up? So I go and on my dorm room floor, I met a young man named Daniel, and he was a freshman as well. And he was First Nations. He was raised on a reservation. He's an American Indian. And and I don't know how this came up or what I was thinking. I was 19, all right, just a total dummy. But I was talking to Daniel, hearing his story that he was raised, and he was telling me the experience of his tribe. And I so wish right now I knew his tribe. And this is one of the things that as I've been reflecting, I'm like, I'm going to find Daniel. I'm going to find out what tribe he's from. Because I was investigating, how do you talk about indigenous people? It's like, oh, they like to be known by their tribe. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even, ask those questions or remember. But I asked Daniel in some sort of moment, I'm like, Daniel, would you be willing to go back to your tribal elders and ask for a name for me, an Indian name? Yeah, a white kid's like, you know what I deserve? A cool Indian name. You know what that would support me in my journey of life, of bringing success in this world? A powerful Indian name for your people. They accommodated me. Can you? I mean, you know what? They talk about. And so I'm embarrassed, right? But I am also blown away. Now, again, I don't know the story of Daniel just made up the whole thing. But I don't think so. So I ask, and he comes back, and he's like, okay, so I told the elders about you. And he asked me to give some details about, like, what I was going to school for and those things. I come back, and he's like, okay, so I told them, and I've got a couple things for you. First, he's like, we have a sacred area that has these stones. It's our area where we pray. So we pick up the stones and we pray. And it's like, they gave you one of the stones. So here's one of your stones. I was like, oh, awesome. Thank you. I've lost it. I have to discard it immediately, right? That's the kind of 19-year-old I was, right? But awesome, beautiful. And they gave me a name. I have no clue what the original word was. I just know the meaning. And the meaning was the next builder. I thought I was going to be an elementary school teacher at that time, or that's what I was in for. And they're like, we've named you the next builder. And I was like, wow, that's a beautiful name. What a great name. So I'm struck by that. I'm struck by the accommodating nature of this beautiful tribe who many of us know the tragic history of what has happened to the First Nations people from stealing all these kinds of things. And they're like such graciousness and hospitality for even for me to say, would you give me a name? With no hesitation, here you go. How much more do you think that if we ask Jesus that question, how much more? We said, what do you say of me? God, Jesus, what do you say of me? Who would you say I am? What do you say of me? Now that question, when I talked about vulnerability, you think the first question of Jesus asking us, what do you say of me? Woo-wee, when I ask that second question, my vulnerability level, I want to run. That question scares me. Anyone else? Anyone else like scared of that question? I'm terrified of that question. Right? It's just it's ruminating ideas and thoughts of someone being able to answer that when you give them the space. Jesus, what name would you give me? And then one, the insecurity that it's just going to be a void. You don't hear anything. And then in the franticness, you just hear, the same self-talk or that. But in that vulnerability, if we don't run in that depth and height and width, I believe there is utter beauty that Jesus wants to speak over every one of us if we're willing to be vulnerable and ask. When Peter, when Jesus spoke that and said, you're Peter the rock. It's rock. It's a beautiful picture. Like not the rock, I mean, but he's like, hey, you're a rock. And then he's like, and the gates, I'm gonna build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell or Hades. That's the word they use in Hades is it's the underworld, it's death. And the gates of death will not conquer it. So when I think about death, it's like, where's the lowest of lows that you can go? Death. No. Even the depths of death will not conquer. You are what God is doing in the world around you, in you. It's higher, it's wider, and it's deeper than you know. It's a mount of God's unchanging love wherever you find yourself, if it's depth, height, or width. And so I pray and hope that as we find ourselves on this mount, that we would be able to be vulnerable and ask these beautiful, complex questions. Ask and answer, like be vulnerable enough to listen and vulnerable enough to answer. And those questions that are awesome. Who do you say I am? With Jesus. What would you say? And the second one is, if you would ask Jesus, if you're uncomfortable with that, my friend Jamie Winship says this, well, what if you asked unconditional love? Unconditional love, what do you say of me? What do you call me? And then be vulnerable enough to listen. That's the mount of God's love. There's gifts for those depths, and may it be. So, Father, thank you for the beauty of these truths, or these stories that can inspire us and move us into heights and depths and widths. May we not be afraid of overwhelming, beautiful love. May we not be afraid of deep sorrow, suffering in life. May those, both of those emotions and those experiences not cause our knee-jerk actions to flee. But in the midst of them, may we be vulnerable with you and allow you to be vulnerable with us. Thank you that there is a love that is greater than we can know. There is more than we can know. May we enter that mystery by your grace. And so I pray you breathe your power on us. Because that's what you say we need. To even go this way in a different kind of power. Not to coerce, not to harm, but a power that brings wholeness and fullness. May it be. Amen. As a part of the series that we're in, there's an affirmation of faith. And this can be tricky because you can be like, oh man, I don't even know what you want us to say together. But I think there's just something about hearing our whispers or our shouts together. And to either feel the confidence or the conflict within these affirmations. And so I invite you to do it not as a way of saying, because I read this, this means that I'm super confident or super conflicted, but there is a way about saying thing out loud with our own voice that we get to recognize what our confidence and also our conflictedness. So a way of us being like, oh, how interesting. That was hard for me to say. And it just allows us to enter into a conversation with God. So I want to invite you. Let's do this together. And so take notice as you pray. May God reveal it to you, this affirmation of faith. And so let's stand. And we're going to use this, and we're going to go right to this. We're going to be dismissed, and you can go and you can eat down in South Hall. We hope you stay. And again, if you want to talk about baptism, grab me at the table that I'll be sitting at, and I would love to talk to you about this. But let's join with me in this prayer together. Jesus asked his disciples, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Church, what do you say? Jesus is a hand reaching out in the storm, the voice of truth spoken over us, and love without walls. Jesus is justice for the weary, healing for the hurt, and welcome for the stranger. Jesus is teacher, Messiah, and friend, with me on the mountain and beside me in the valley. Jesus is a star in the night and the love that knows my name. Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Like Peter, we say, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. God bless you. Stay and eat. Please stick around and come hang out. Jesse.
In face.
I'm not sure how we end.
Bo said he got a message that the Facebook video was blurry.
I'm not sure. And it could be off of this, because what it's doing is it is picking up the camera, sending it to Zoom, and that's being sent to Facebook. So you're talking like three layers down, right?
And then
so how's it going?
Already.
You like, so
future.